welcome to the Cold Coffee Club, a podcast brought to you by Houston Moms Blog. HMB is passionate about our community and the moms who live here, just like you. Our goal is to make this big city that we live in feel just a bit smaller. So we invite you to tune in every week to hear about all things motherhood, get a glimpse of the latest events, and all the fun activities happening around town. So go ahead, reheat that coffee, put your feet up, and join us as we cover the gamut of this crazy job we have all elected to take on and been blessed with, to be called mom.
Hi, this is Megan. Welcome to this week's edition of the Cold Coffee Club. I cannot wait for you to meet this week's special guest. In the house, we have Elizabeth Baker, one of our valued contributors, as well as our managing editor. Can't wait to hear what we're going to discuss this week. But before we get to Elizabeth, I invite you guys to check out everything we have going on HoustonMomsBlog.com, as well as Twitter, Instagram, and our fantastic community and conversation group. That is a great place to ask questions and get answers. Today, I am so privileged to welcome Elizabeth Baker to the Cold Coffee Club podcast. Welcome, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Megan. I'm so happy to be here.
So glad to have you. I would love for you to tell our audience a little bit about you. You've been a contributor with Houston Moms Blog for about 2.5 years, so I know you really pretty well, but I would love for you to share what that looks like.
Sure. Thanks so much. Well, like Megan said, I'm Elizabeth. I live in Katy, suburb of Houston. I have 3 kids. Grayson is 8, Charlotte is 5, and Nolan is 3. I work part-time, and I'm a writer, editor, blogger. I love podcasts, so this is really exciting for me to be here.
We are so excited to have you. A little bit of backstory. So Elizabeth and I were both contributors at the same time, and for those of you who kind of know the Houston Moms Blog story, I came on as owner about a year ago, and Elizabeth is also serving as our wonderful editor-in-chief. So anything that you see goes up on the blog comes from Elizabeth. And I have to tell you, girl, like, one of my most nerve-wracking things was how we would work together. It's always intimidating to go into somebody who's established and are we going to get along? What does this look like? I knew we had some differing viewpoints on things. And y'all, this is where communication makes the difference, because once we started talking, we realized we had way much more in common than we had different. So I have to say, on an emotional mom standpoint, what a cool opportunity and thrill and privilege it has been to walk in this journey with you. So I just have to get that mom sentiment out of the way.
I agree 100%. It has been one of the biggest joys of the last few years working with you and Houston Moms Blog. So fun.
So I love this post. So we're going to kind of like just dive right in. So as we were looking at some of the most, I guess, responded to posts for 2018, you had a post called The Purity Culture. Can you tell us a little bit about what the purity culture, like, what does that even mean?
Sure. I think, like I said in my post, I think moms in their mid to late 30s are probably going to relate to this the most. Purity culture was a movement back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and you might have heard of True Love Waits, which is a program in evangelical churches that emphasized virginity until marriage, and it's just everything revolving around that concept. You stay pure, sexually pure, as far as modesty, all that goes into it, until you have a ring on your finger. So that's basically what purity culture is.
Okay. So I think that is really good to clarify for our audience, because I had not specifically heard of it put in that terms. But so True Love Waits was the movement. Is that right?
Yeah, and a lot of churches, it was a whole curriculum. It was a program where they went through and they, you know, using Bible verses and then, you know, lots of, you know, education on why you should remain a virgin until you got married. And then at the end of the program, there was a purity ring ceremony where you got a ring and you put it on. I think you put it on your ring finger, you know, where you would one day wear your wedding band. And that was to symbolize that you were, you know, committed to staying pure until you replaced that with your wedding band someday.
Interesting. Okay. So tell me, in your post, you said, I guess, one of your reasons for breaking down why the purity culture did not work for you. It emphasizes girls' purity over boys. Can you expand upon that?
So, me growing up, I went to a lot of youth group events, church events, where, for example, when we went to church camp in the summer, girls were required to wear one-piece swimsuits so as not to be a stumbling block to the boys, to keep, you know, most of our bodies covered, that kind of thing. And we were always responsible for keeping the boys pure, but the boys were not given that same lesson. They were not told what kind of clothes to wear. That they were responsible for our purity at all. It was mostly on the girls.
So when you say that, did the boys go through this?
They did.
Thing as well.
I believe they did to a certain extent. But it definitely was not as emphasized as it was with the girls.
So they didn't have a ring or, you know, some sort of symbol?
Right. I'm not sure if they did or not. I believe some of them might have, but I can't recall any men that I know that wore a True Love Waits purity ring as a teenager.
So it's so interesting. So one thing you also talked about is that the purity culture makes sex wrong.
That's right.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, everything they told us when we were growing up was any kind of sexual activity, involvement, thoughts, movies, books, anything that didn't keep us quote-unquote pure was sinful. But then when you slip a ring on your finger on the wedding day, everything's fair game and you're good to go and you're supposed to be available to your husband anytime he wants sex. So you go from it being totally wrong to totally celebrated, which for some people, honestly, that probably works. They can probably flip that switch and it'd be fine. For a lot of us, that was not the case.
Got it. Where you just, you flip your lid and all of a sudden, that's where you're at. And then another point you talked about is it doesn't teach consent.
Well, by saying that all sexual activity is off limits all the time, you don't teach specifically girls, you know, to listen to their own bodies, to listen to what they want. It's just, this is wrong, and then it's right in marriage. And so you feel like you can't say no once you do get married, and it leaves the door wide open for all kinds of sexual abuse, that kind of thing, even for people who aren't married. That was not my experience at all, but I can see how that could be.
So we know you're a mama of a girl. How does this affect what you're doing to raise Charlotte?
Yeah.
What does that look like when you're trying to instill, you know, I would assume values, value your body and what have you, but not put this on. What does that look like for your family?
Right. Well, you know, I still am a Christian, and I want to raise my family and my kids with Christian values, but I don't want my kids' purity to be the focus of those Christian values. I want them to know they're loved no matter what. I want them to know that God loves them no matter what. And whether that means teaching them to save sex for marriage, I'm not sure yet. My kids are really young, and I'll be honest with you, I haven't figured that out yet. specifically what I'm going to tell them about that. But I know that I do not want them having or not having sex or their clothes that they wear, anything they choose to do with their own bodies as the sole focus of their spirituality, their salvation, anything like that. And with Charlotte, I am, you know, I'm focusing on her being a good person, that her body is good. I'm teaching her to use the correct terminology for her body parts. I'm teaching her about consent, which is kind of hard when she won't keep her hands off her little brother. But, you know, we're working on it. But we teach her, you know, if someone is touching you and you don't like it, you say no and you tell them that. At the same time, you know, you get to decide what you do with your body. You're in charge of your body. No one else is in charge of your body but you.
So from an audience standpoint, can you clarify how old Charlotte is?
Sure. Charlotte is 5.5.
Okay. So these are things we're kind of working through. As a reference point, I have an 8-year-old or eight and a half year old that these things are coming into play. And, you know, we think of sex and bodies and all of that being so far away.
Right. It comes so fast.
But it truly is not. Mm-hmm. And then especially related to, like, the Me Too movement. So how do you think purity culture relates to the Me Too movement?
You know, I think there's a lot of correlation there. I've read stories specifically. There's a hashtag that's hashtag church too, with a lot of people who are sharing their stories of sexual abuse in the church by people that they trusted, some of whom are youth pastors that, you know, led them in the True Love Waits program. And so, you know, I think by teaching our girls and our boys that, again, their bodies belong to them, teaching them about consent, teaching them to speak out when sexual abuse happens, and that, you know, the mark of their worth and value with society and God is not based on their sexuality and what they do with their bodies.
So as somebody who is a prolific writer in her own psych and has investigated all of this, what would you tell a mom who maybe has, you know, young children or tweens, like we're going into this? What would be your pieces of advice for them?
You know, I think the first piece of advice is to just let your children know that their bodies are good, that their bodies are there for them. They are not, you know, they're not to be sexualized. They're not to be vilified. They are good. You know, they help us, you know, be in the world. So their bodies are good. That would be the first thing. And I think you need to decide as a family, as a mom, just what your values are. And just be really clear about that. And don't let any sort of outside influence, whether it be the church, whether it be the media, decide that for you. You know, you need to be really clear what your values are and impart those to your children. And like I said, you know, I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to tell my kids about sex right now. You know, and we're all a work in progress. And I think we tell our kids, you know what, if you make a mistake, if you screw up sexually or any, you know, otherwise, it's okay. This is not the end of your life. You know, we will still love you. God will still love you. It's okay. It's okay to make a mistake.
I think that's so important for parents and children to know, like, we are not getting this right 100% of the time, right? So, I mean, as a little personal aside, I grew up in, like, a pretty, like, Catholic household, but we didn't talk about sex. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't, like, I got a book when I was in fifth grade that kind of broke it down for me. I got my James Avery purity ring, and I didn't think it was all bad, to be honest with you. There was not a whole lot of realism when I went to college about what it looks like. And I think part of what you discussed here is, you know, the shame that some of our children may feel in knowing, and you alluded to it, about like if you make a mistake or you experiment or whatever it looks like for you, it's not the end all be all, right?
Right. Exactly. It is not. You know, it's our children they're human beings, you know, and they're going to make mistakes, and they're going to do things different than we maybe want them to. And that's okay, too. You know, I think we have to realize they are their own people and they will make their own choices for their own bodies. And we can teach them our values and, you know, hope that they follow certain things that we want them to do. But in the end, they are responsible for their own bodies.
I think that's a really important point, is that our kids own themselves. Like, this is their stuff. It's like, it's not mine. It's not yours. It's not their daddy's. It truly is their own. And that plays into so many different facets of their life. You know, mom, close your ears. But I mean, I went to college and my husband saved himself for me. I did not. And do I still feel shame to this day that I did not? A little bit.
Sure.
Because of what I was ingrained with. And I think that also, you know, comes with a bit of forgiveness from, you know, myself. But it's not something I can have an open conversation even with my husband. Like,
right.
Hey, by the way.
Right.
There were others. But I don't want my children, especially my daughter, to feel that same thing.
Sure.
Where they feel like they can't. I want them to be open. And so how would you like for Charlotte to come to you one day about sex? Or is that just something that you all talk about openly?
I have not talked to her about sex yet at all. That it has not come up. We talk about bodies a lot and, you know, good touch, bad touch. But as far as sex, no. But I do want us to have an open relationship. I want her to be able to ask me anything, tell me anything. I want our conversations to be organic. I think a lot of the conversations I had growing up with my parents, with people in the church, were just so inorganic, for lack of a better word.
That is so funny. I love that you said that, because I feel like sometimes it's like the time, right, where it's the fifth grade conversation where like the counselor and the nurse come in and they put something up on the screen and you watch a video about how babies are made.
Yep.
And that's it. And the reason I got my book was because I was going, we start traveling for soccer. And my mom wanted me to know about bodies before we traveled for soccer, and I was going to be showering with other girls. I mean, it was so forced.
Yes.
And so I have to, like, say a funny aside. But we were in Corpus Christi this summer, and I have no idea, but we were, like, sitting at a random table, and the topic of babies and how my kids came to be came up. And in the middle of this bar situation, I told my children exactly what it looked like with, like, specifics and all. And so it's interesting. Like, I'm hoping that we're going to make that more of an open conversation.
Right. And from everything I've heard from the experts, you know, it's not just a one-time conversation. It's a continuous conversation. Now, not every day, not every minute, but when it comes up, you talk about it. And you leave room for them to come and not feel shame to ask you anything. You know, and from what I've heard, you know, you might get some shocking questions. So I guess I'll have to work on my poker face. But yeah, that's what I want, is just open dialogue, you know, trusting, no shame for her to ask me anything. And can I say one other thing just about purity culture? If you are someone who's listening and maybe you went through this program, True Love Waits or whatever, Saved Yourself for Marriage, and it turned out great for you, you know, you don't have any lasting shame or you don't feel hurt by anything, that's great. I'm so happy for you. You know, I wish I could say the same thing, but please don't discount the stories of those of us who do feel hurt by the purity movement. You know, I've come across several people who say, well, you know, this, it didn't happen to me, or I went through it and I don't feel hurt. And, you know, that's, it's hurtful to those of us who are sharing our real hurts and, you know, our stories of shame and that kind of thing. So, just please just listen with an open mind and, just remember, just because one thing didn't affect you away doesn't mean it didn't affect someone else.
I love that. That was very well put. Thank you. I think that kind of like comes full circle with what I was saying earlier. Communication, y'all, is the key. You don't know unless you open your mind and can hear other stories. May or may not agree with it, but there is value in the communication process. And so this clearly struck a chord with the Houston moms. And I am so grateful, number one, that, by the way, when our writers put out posts, it comes with a super amount of vulnerability. You are opening yourself up to criticism. Or, I mean, the positive part is people saying like, oh, I love you. But there's always some measure of criticism that comes behind it. And there's a lasting impact that lives on the internet. And so I just want to thank Elizabeth for being here. And also having the bravery to write it and talk about it. And so we would love to keep the conversation going. Grateful to know you. Communication is the key, y'all. Let's keep talking. Community and Conversation group on Facebook. Elizabeth, you're one of my dearest and dearest. Glad to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Megan.
I want to thank Elizabeth for stopping by today, and I hope you will check out Houston Mom's Blog for all of the latest, and of course, we will see you around town real soon.
You have been listening to The Cold Coffee Club, brought to you by Houston Mom's Blog. We wish you a fabulous week with your family and look forward to sharing many more cups of cold coffee with you.